Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Podcast like it. Just podcast like it. Podcast like it's 1999. Podcast like it.
You want a podcast like it? Podcast like it's 1999.
Podcast like it. Just podcast like it. Podcast like it's 1999. Podcast like it.
You want a podcast like it?
1999.
Hello and welcome to Podcasts Like It's 1999, the podcast where we talk about the films of 1999, fighting our doppelganger atop, our mechanical doppelganger atop a yellow bridge here in 2022. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny Nyberg.
And I'm Phil Isco.
And back, she only comes back for the best, Emma Stefanski. Thank you so much for coming back to our podcast.
She's our gadget queen.
I love gadgets. There's truly a theme now.
Gadget Queen is, I feel like that's like the lost Nicki Minaj song.
Yeah, I mean, this movie has been a little infamous because I feel like we've tweeted about it. I mean, I've tweeted about it on several occasions prior to the recording of this. So much so that one of our followers today was like, you guys should never do Inspector Gadget. Just keep talking about Inspector Gadget. Yeah, this, I mean, thank you, Emma, for coming back to talk about this more importantly.
As soon as I saw this on the list of possibilities, I was like, look, I can't not, I have to do it.
Right. I mean, it does feel...
She will be mine. Oh, yes. She
will be mine. It does feel a little akin to Smart House.
Mm-hmm. A little.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's right know, there for the taking.
Phil today's gadget is RoboCop, which it is. Same movie.
That's exactly my first thought. I was like rereading part of the synopsis before I started the movie. A dumb thing to do, but I was just doing it.
I mean, whatever.
And it genuinely is like, you know, man gets like beaten to death or whatever by bad guys. The cops turn him into or whatever. And then he has to fight a new and improved version of himself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's amazing that it took 9 writers to make it.
Yeah, when you could have just hired Verhoeven and gotten done with it.
Yeah, I mean, so this movie feels like it was a real bottomless pit. Like, I think that in terms of just money, just wasted hand over fist. But like, I understand that I guess it needs to be said too. Kenny and I, we did My Favorite Martian, which was also 99.
Very, very similar in tone.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it feels like Disney at this time, their live action films were all very much of a mold, which is too expensive based on IP that only matters to parents. Because like, I don't think that the kids at the time knew about the Saturday morning cartoon, did they? I mean, I'm assuming not.
Well, as a kid at the time, as someone who was a kid, I had no idea. I think I remember like I saw this in the theater. I saw this on like a friend's birthday at the Cinema Cafe. Very
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
And I remember
Was this New York City?
No, this was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I'm from.
Oh, New York also had a Cinema Cafe.
Did they really?
Yes.
And I never always, knew if it was like a chain always, or if there was like...
No, just, I don't think so. It always... This is going to sound so sad. I found it vaguely depressing because I loved movies and it was a restaurant my mom always thought I would love to go to. She's like, I'm taking the Cinema Cafe, a place you love, mm-hmm. that pays homage to that thing you love. And it's not really a Cinema Cafe. Ours at least was a very, very normal New York restaurant that I think had like 35 millimeter film as decoration. That's okay. The extent of it.
So the Cinema Cafe that you're speaking of is a movie theater, Emma?
Okay, or? Yes. Okay. Okay, so your Cinema Cafe was just a restaurant that was filmed
diner.
Movie themed.
That was themed.
like a Planet Hollywood.
Not even. No. But it didn't even try. It had a few stars. Uh-huh. It had... Yeah, it would have had like an old, you know, hand crank, like a film camera.
As all plastered.
Sure. No. I'm talking about like bar mitzvah level, like art, like just on the wall.
Uh-huh.
All right. Tell and me about movie, yours where you can see.
Yeah,
the actual
this movie
movies.
Theater you went to.
Okay. Well, this is the, swankiest place in Virginia Beach. Let's just get that out of the way. This is, you know, fancy. It really isn't. It's in a middle of nowhere, like shopping center out on the edge of town that like a few of my friends lived near. So they would all have birthday parties over there. And it was essentially like a movie theater, but then there were like little tables in where the seats would be. So you sort of felt like it was like being in like a jazz lounge from a Batman movie, except it was for films, not for like, you know,
like that.
Women singing at
you. Sounds pretty swanky. Sounds pretty nice.
Really cool. Yeah. But yeah, we would have stuff there. And it was always like, you know, you would get the pizza like in the middle of the movie and you would miss it because you would be doing like, it was annoying. But that's where I saw Inspector Gadget for the first time.
The first time. So did you as a kid like it?
Probably. I mean, I wasn't very critical at 6, 7 years old. I don't know.
Did you like it more or less than Treasure Planet?
I mean, nothing beats Treasure Planet. Let's just be honest with ourselves.
I've been just asking. I wanted to understand the metrics. That's all.
Nothing was as... Inspector Gadget was not a formative film for me in the way that Treasure Planet was.
But Treasure Planet's got a lot of gadgets, just FYI.
That's true. I mean, one of the characters is basically Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
Half man, half machine.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a trend. Wow, I'm learning a lot about myself today.
So I want to speak to the Emma, an actual child, not knowing Gadget, the IP.
I'm going to do this.
Because
I was shorter back then.
for those who don't know, Emma has changed the perspective of the camera now for a lot of headspace.
Yeah, little Emma, one
little
day.
Little Emma.
You yes. will. No. What I meant was... I think you got it. It was just a great gag.
It was a great gag.
What I Thanks. Meant was I, at the time, 17-year-old, not yet a man, but, you know, not a boy.
Not a girl, not yet a woman.
Right, yes.
That's right.
Yes.
That's what I was going for. was keenly aware of this IP.
Okay, interesting.
And had seen, I wouldn't say every episode because people didn't think of things that way back then, but I had seen just a plethora of Inspector Gadget episodes.
A smattering.
no, more than a smattering.
Oh,
a buffet.
Yeah, no. No. It was a staple in my life. And sure. It was a Nickelodeon show. And it was a Nickelodeon show I could stomach.
When was it
right?
on? Like what years would that have been?
Late 80s, early 90s, I'd say.
Because I remember it as
before
a kid.
My time.
It was a...
TV.
I mean, I just watched Nickelodeon nonstop. Mm-hmm. And there were, you know, unless it was a show I just begin to handle. But if it was like you know, a D plus
sure.
or higher, mm-hmm. I would just watch it. So I think, you know, Inspector Gadget was fine, but I knew it very well. The thing about Inspector Gadget that was interesting, going back to this podcast being half an Entertainment Weekly appreciation podcast, Entertainment Weekly was up on this movie, was always uh-huh. kind of, you know, like making a big thing about this movie because it is, it does seem to exist in the, you know, the wet dream consciousness of an exec.
Mm.
Like,
oh, totally.
Look at all the shit we could do and gadgets and and funny and mystery and bing, bang, boom. It's perfect for the, you know, the, all the kids who love crazy shit. Mm-hmm. And that's why they threw $100 million. And it was like, it was a front page of Entertainment Weekly type. It was a front cover of Entertainment Weekly type movie at the time. And, you know, I guess everybody just misread the love that was out there for this character, which I think is like zero or close to it.
I mean, I agree and I disagree at the same time. I think that I remember as a kid as well.
I know people are going to fight back and say they love Inspector Gadget, but
you're
going to
ignite super fans.
It didn't show up in '99, so come on.
Well, but this movie sucked. Like, this movie is fucking bad. So like, it's
Inspector Gadget proper.
But Inspector Gadget proper, the thing this movie does, I mean, this movie does a lot of things really poorly, but the thing that the show does is that it's really about Penny and Brain.
Yes, it is.
It's a trifecta, and they're
who are
kind
hardly
of,
in this movie. It's super
they're
weird.
Not, I totally I'm just like, it's bizarre. That's the fucking, that's the juice. I don't need to see fucking, you know, Matthew Broderick fight another version of Matrix. I don't even need to see off. Dr. Claw. Like,
for
why?
Only like minutes he was doing that. It's like a third of the movie.
It like I've never seen a live action movie that lived in the Uncanny Valley the way this one did.
Oh, so, but I almost like, wish it went farther down the Uncanny Valley.
The weird teeth,
stomach churning and off-putting.
It's great. But and by that I mean it's insane.
But I feel, Phil, like yes. I certainly think this movie is a horrible disaster.
Yeah.
But very much in control of itself. Like, very much do it. Like, it did exactly what it wanted to do. I just
for sure. Well, it had a lot of money to do it.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, well, but I mean, totally. Like, it's it is what it wants to be. You know, it's awful. It's
I really
like
think
bordering
that
on
it's,
performance art.
I 100% agree. But I also think that this is a prime example of, like, this is not Roderick's thing, man. Like, Matthew Broderick is the wrong guy. Like, this needs
to
be...
He was better as the robot Broderick.
But he just, like... The laundry list of people that were considered to play the role, just for what it's worth, are Jim Carrey, Tom Hanks, Robin Williams, Tim Allen, Chevy Chase, Steve Martin, Kevin Kline. These are all people, Brendan Fraser, right? Like, these are all people that make sense because it becomes a star vehicle and their comedic sensibilities can be sort of infused into this stupid gadgetry nonsense, right? Like, I see the Robin Williams version of this. Like, I see
all,
the Jim
all of those
version,
guys. Everyone,
right?
You said.
Like, you see yes. every one of them. Matthew Broderick's not one of those guys. So, like, I'm watching this, and Matthew Broderick is so odd in this film. Even when he's just like normal guy before he gets blown up and turned into Inspector Gadget, he's like an alien. Like, he speaks like someone who does. Like, he's just very inhuman in a way that's just odd. I just don't know what the direction was.
Emma, do you like this movie?
No.
Emma wants to be very clear.
No, this is no Smart House. Let's put it that way.
You've been very quiet throughout our just ranting and raving. And I keep looking at you and I'm thinking,
yeah, I'm
like,
trying to gauge it. Yeah.
Why isn't she chiming in? We are piling on here.
Do you think Smart House is better than this?
Favorite film? I mean, that's a tough one. I think, well, the emotional like through line of Smart House, I think, is more effective in that movie than it is in this movie. I also read, I was looking up this movie on Wikipedia.com, that really obscure website that maybe you've heard of.
Yeah.
And I saw that there was a like fully feature length 110 minute cut of this movie that they sliced up to make it like 70 or whatever it is now. It's really short, which is bizarre.
Yeah.
Well, it stops making sense too. Like I imagine that there's that at a certain point they were like, fuck logic. Let's just get this in and out of theaters.
Yeah. But no, I don't think it's a very good movie. I remember like as a kid, I was like, whatever. It's just the thing that everyone's talking about. It's Inspector Gadget. Parents were like, the show, right? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. and rewatching it, it's strange. It's strange to rewatch and remember it, but also like know, like, oh, this is unfortunate. Like this really isn't going anywhere.
It's funny to think that the parents that Emma was, you know, waving aside were like probably 31.
Yeah.
I don't know you're talking about, you old idiots.
Just wizened crones. Oh, it was a TV show.
Did you see the sequel, Emma, by any chance?
I did see the sequel.
Yeah,
I've not seen
it. I actually watched it too.
Really?
Not
the sequel
this.
Was on Disney Channel, I think. It was like a direct-to-video thing, right?
It was, yeah.
And it was What's His Face?
With the inevitable French story.
French story.
Yeah.
The only place to go from Matthew Broderick is French story.
Did they get
the other Broderick? That's what
Rupert Everett back for the sequel?
I don't think so. I think the sequel doesn't have him in it because that was some big criticism of the movie because you never see Dr. Claw's face in the show. And in the movie, yeah, it's all about him.
It's such a fucking wrong road to go down.
All right.
It is so funny, by the way, to listen to you guys talk about like beloved IP because the only reference point that I have for Inspector Gadget is this movie.
So I think
that's wrong that they did that. I can't believe
that. That's why I'm like, okay. That's why that right before you said that, that's why I sighed. I don't know if you can hear the sigh. Because yeah. It occurred to me, I'm like formulating my argument. I'm like, what? Am I about to make an argument for like what the good Inspector Gadget movie looks like?
Is good.
Well, we're not the first people to talk about the potential of this IP.
We're not.
Because there is a RoboCop-esque core to this story. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right.
This movie is what if it ruled actually to have your broken body be repurposed as the perfect crime fighting machine.
Yep.
But the thing about Phil made this point, but that's why this movie's stupid. You just nailed it. Mm-hmm. But the thing that Phil said at the beginning about Brain and Penny.
Yeah.
And why the cartoon works and this doesn't is because the cartoon doesn't center the fucking human instrument who is more of an impediment to solving crimes in that show than he is
that's the joke.
A benefit. That is the joke, that he gets all the credit. Penny and Brain Penny does all the work. Brain is a dog. But Penny does all the work.
But Brain is a dog that can talk and has a headset.
No, he can't. I think that happened in a later iteration. I don't know. Could he talk in the beginning? I don't think he
Brain
could talk.
Was able. Brain was, you know.
Brain can communicate. Well, it was the brain. He was Brain. Yeah. I'm going to have to come back to you on that one. But the first thing that this movie did so wrong and so like misguidedly is do an origin story. Yeah. Now, I'm not someone who like sits here and says origin trash. In fact, I think origin stories are often very important for starting out these things in their cinematic journey. But this character's origin story necessarily is too serious for this character.
Yeah.
It is like the journey from normal man to robot man is only a bad one. So just fucking gloss over it. Here he is, Inspector Gadget, the hero of the city who solves all the crimes. And let's just put him on one adventure.
Do it in the credit sequence.
Like the Batman.
Yeah, no, 100%.
I wouldn't even do it. I wouldn't even fucking do it. I would just have it be this silly fucking town where Gadget is the man and Gadget just... That's what I would start.
I don't disagree with you that the origin component of this movie is bad. for a bunch of reasons.
Because I just really the next step of this, where you really start to go down your, you know, your toxic fanboy, you know, rabbit hole, is there is a really good dark version of this movie.
Yes.
Well, they made it.
The gritty version of Inspector Gadget.
Grim dark Inspector Gadget. Zack Snyder's Inspector Gadget.
I mean, would watch.
That would rule. It would be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it would be good. And I think like no one like they tried it with one piece of IP, a piece no one knows or cares about. About that, like that, all that, like almost like Sid and Marty Krofft, like
I don't know,
Muppet band thing. I'll look it up. But a great move for this IP that barely fucking matters is to go real fucking weird and dark with it. And I think that would be kind of just fun. I think they're kind of doing that with the Chip and Dale thing a little bit. But weirder, darker, nastier.
Well, that's this movie taps into the weirdness at times that is kind of shocking and weird. Like when you get to Robo, whatever, Robo Gadget, the evil version, right? It definitely tips into that very strange place of like, what exactly is going on here? And is this about the duality of man or something? Like, is this about like good versus evil? It's all very confusing, but I agree with you, Kenny, that I was watching this film, and I don't know if you felt this way, Emma, but like, it just feels like a missed opportunity. I'm not suggesting that there's necessarily a truly great film to be made from this IP, but there's a better movie. I mean, there's certainly one that's not kind of painful to watch at times. Like there's stuff in this film that's just rough. Like the car, for instance.
The worst.
The car making references to the fact that you're watching a Disney movie.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
And the car is very smart house. The car feels very smart house.
It's a machine with a mind of its own.
Yeah, and a robot face that they keep cutting to that doesn't sync up with his words. So it's just like, why do we keep doing this? I'm going to read a synopsis real quick. John Brown, played by Matthew Broderick, is a bumbling but well-intentioned security guard who is badly injured in an explosion planned by an evil mastermind. He's taken to a laboratory where Brenda, played by Jolie Fisher, a leading robotic surgeon, replaces his damaged limbs with state-of-the-art gadgets and tools. Named Inspector Gadget by the press, John, along with his niece Penny, played by Michelle Trachtenberg, and her trusty dog Brain, uses his powers to discover who's behind the explosion. Inspector Gadget opened on July 23rd, 1999 in second place with $21.8 million behind The Haunting. Have you seen The Haunting, Emma? Are you a Haunting fan?
I haven't seen The Haunting, no.
Don't. It's bad. It would go on to make
a fan.
I don't know. Terrible movie. I mean, listen, you never know, Emma. You throw some curveballs.
Especially with me. Yeah, that's true.
It would go on to make $134 million worldwide on a $90 million budget. It's got 21% of Rotten Tomatoes from critics, 18% from audiences. Roger Ebert gave the film 1.5 stars, saying, obviously, it would be better armed to deal with this stuff had I ever seen an Inspector Gadget cartoon. I could discuss how it does or doesn't live up to or down to the original. Perhaps younger kids will like it more. I don't care about the action because it made no difference to me who won or lost. The plot was as an arbitrary concoction.
Damn. I mean,
fair. I will say this, though. I actually think the special effects in this movie are pretty solid. I know that might, like...
They're fine.
I think they're actually kind of good.
It's very Spy Kids, like proto Spy Kids.
With more money. I just thought they did... Considering the fact that, like, I imagine the reason this film didn't get made sooner is because... turning him into all those gadgets is fucking expensive. Mm. And they do it pretty seamlessly in this film, all things considered.
It's such a stupid movie. they don't even use the gadgets well. Like,
They don't.
They don't even... There's no fun. Like, there's just like... The thing that kind of like just you know, Uncanny Valley, Sense with Me Wrong, is like there is vision and there is, mm-hmm. you know, there is some experimentation.
Yes.
There is some attempt to be subversive or even transgressive. Mm-hmm. It's just all in the wrong direction. It's all poking out in the wrong directions. Like, this could be just, it's such a gonzo fucking character and a gonzo thing to spend $120 million on that you could have just, instead of being like, you know, like having this fucking central meta car, you could have just had so much like Roger Rabbit-esque fun with it if you really wanted to. I want to go back to
Spielberg almost did this.
Yeah.
Not direct, because, but he almost produced it.
It seems like fun. The movie I was referencing is called The Banana Splits Movie, which was a Sid and Marty Krofft's, their first TV show. It's, you know, it's a Hanna-Barbera, Sid and Marty Krofft show about an animatronic band, and the 2019 movie where they got the IP is about that band turning into serial killers and it being a horror movie. And I think like that shit is fun. And I think that,
sure.
I think a dark and brooding, almost a Bel Air version of Inspector Gadget would work on TV.
I think, okay, here's my one edit that would maybe make this into the better, darker version that you're thinking of, which is...
Because I'm about to pitch it.
Okay. Well, first, I'm going to pitch it.
Yeah. I'm just going to beat you to it.
Listen up.
We're here. We're listening.
This is why I'm not, you know...
That's how you start all your pitches.
No, I listen up. I am so much more intrigued now that you said that.
Same.
Look at me. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I'm like, where is this going to go?
Oh, no, there's no way it's going to live up to this. Okay, well, my edit would be because they introduce the whole, like, you know, it's about your heart, like it's about your emotions, about your humanity early on in the movie. And they also introduce that like chip that becomes the sort of like the thing that make, you know, what I would do is I have the baddies, mm-hmm. steal the chip and reprogram him to be bad. And he has to use his humanity and his love for his family and the woman he has a crush on, I guess, whatever, to overcome it. So similar to the way that he does in this movie, except he's not fighting against something; it's him fighting against himself.
That's a great pitch.
That's a much better version.
That's what this movie should have been. You're totally right because then you refocus it on Penny, and Penny is trying to save Gadget, who is doing all his bad Gadget shit, and you lose White Teeth Gadget, who's
and you lose and the stupid foot thing.
Yeah,
I do remember
you saved it.
Vividly the sentence, we moved the foot. Yep. That's something that's in my brain. Like as soon as when they were about to say it, I said it. And then they said, oh boy, this movie is deeper in me than I thought.
It's in you than you thought.
That's not good.
Right, so that's the great pitch, Emma, for going back 23 years in the past and saving this film.
Well,
I want to do the movie where Inspector Gadget has been doing this now for 23 years.
Oh God!
And he's just and he's going to live forever too. By the way,
yeah, of course
he's a robot.
Logan Bicentennial Man AI. It's this like Gadget doesn't even know what he's doing this
it's,
for.
It's anymore. An existential.
There's no crime anymore,
man. Yeah.
There's no crime. Like.
The neo-noir inspector.
He's gotten good. Penny's 35 years old. Penny's married. Like,
see, I was just going to go one step farther and go like full on Wall-E. And it's just Inspector Gadget's all that's left.
There's no more crime because there's nobody left.
He's outlived the human race.
I think Will just chimed in. Will liked it. I think, Will, did you just chime in?
Maybe. I don't know. Did someone?
I thought our producer Will like kind of audibly goes.
I mean, I would I'd watch.
I mean,
it should be said though that I do like the Spielberg version.
No, the Wall-E version's good, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The Spielberg version.
Disney's listening to this.
Makes sense though, right? Like he wanted Chevy Chase or Steve Martin, and he wanted to do something that was going to be. You know what I mean? Like that, first of all, that version is good. It probably isn't great, but it's good. This version feels so, I mean, made by committee. It just feels like a very desperate, weird IP play in a way that at the time Disney was doing a fair amount of. Because they hadn't really figured out what their live action thing was.
Steve Martin or Chevy Chase or a lot of the other guys in that list, but specifically those two guys, or a Bill Murray.
Or Tim Allen, even. I could see Tim Allen's version of this.
Tim Allen, some guy, who has a established comedic persona.
Yes.
That you could riff on.
Yep.
Would have been really beneficial for this film.
I agree.
Whereas some guy like Broderick, mm-hmm. who never really did the Ferris Bueller thing again, just started playing, you know, weenies, for lack of a better term.
Got a weenie? Matthew's here.
That's what he was. He was just a weenie from here on out. Never really, you know, he played a bit of a weenie in this, I guess, but you don't want a weenie. You want one of those guys. A funny guy would have been necessary for this film.
Couldn't
necessary.
Agree with you more.
I mean, Jim Carrey seems obvious because he's already rubber, but like someone who can deliver a one-liner like a Steve Martin, Bill Murray, or Chevy Chase, that's where you should start.
Well, here's the thing too, which is that apparently there was a Jim Carrey Fairley Brothers version of this film that was also in development at one point.
Oh, now, a dirty version.
Where I guess he has dildos and stuff coming out of it. I don't know. I mean,
definitely. That's the dark and gritty version that we deserve.
Oh no.
That's the hero.
I just got lightheaded thinking about that. Go Gadget dildos. Go. It just pops out 10 dildos from his fingers.
That's great. Jim Carrey
smile.
I can see that version, but again, like that version also feels like why are we doing this? Like I also just want to say
in,
this.
In the world where that movie gets made,
yes,
Green Book probably doesn't exist.
Correct. And
it's like
silver lining.
Like the future city with all the flying cars and everything. Like this is the world if they made the Fairley Brothers.
Flying cars, it's better. But
COVID,
so Kevin Kline
happened. Yeah, it would have been great.
So Kevin Kline doesn't do this film, but he does play kind of his Wild Wild West character is pretty much Inspector Gadget.
Oh yeah, he does have a lot of gadget in him.
It's just all fucking gadgets. So I kind of feel like he did it anyway.
I don't know why this all of a sudden feels like such a missed opportunity to me, because this is a stupid character, a terrible script, and everything about it's wrongheaded. But like there are so many funny ways to go with this casting. Like if you went real high, Jeremy Irons could have played Inspector Gadget.
Would watch.
You could have got like so like against type and done something so silly. You could have had any wild person play this ridiculous. And part of that is because you had Matthew Broderick, who is so wrong for the role. So the opportunity or the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Eddie Murphy version of this. There's so many versions.
He's so wrong for Inspector Gadget. I'm sure he's not.
I'm sure he's fine with us saying this. But yeah, I do think that it's a weird movie. It's an
How about Malkovich? Malkovich would have been the best.
Malkovich would have been a great Claw.
No, nah, it's an obvious Claw. Claw should have been Broderick.
Claw shouldn't have been in this movie. I think we all agree.
Not kidding. They should have swapped the roles on day one. They should have swapped the roles.
Rupert Everett should have been this?
Yeah. Sure. He's great. Rupert Everett's ridiculous as a bustling villain, and he's so charming. He had some highs and lows this year, too. What is this, like the fourth movie we've done with him?
Yeah, he had what were his highs?
Well, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Sure.
He was also an ideal husband, which we like.
Sure. Tucci would have been a great Inspector Gadget.
That would have been great. Shalhoub.
Shalhoub?
Shalhoub would have killed it.
MS face just lit up with just the word Shalhoub.
I can see it now. I can picture it perfectly in my head.
Brendan Fraser turns it down to do George of the Jungle. Yeah.
A lot of people turned down roles in this movie to do other movies that were then much better decisions.
But I want to ask this, Kenny.
Except Chevy.
So Brendan Fraser turns this down to do George of the Jungle. But the movie I thought of a lot as I was rewatching this today was Dudley Do Right.
Yes.
Which, as we all know, fucking rules. Yes. And Dudley Do Right is an unsung masterpiece.
Yes.
And that to me is what you're talking about. Full commitment to the bit.
Totally.
The filmmaker totally gets it. Everyone's on the same page. And there's just a vision to it. Whereas this,
why did Dudley Do Right work where this didn't?
It's the age old question. The question people have been asking for decades.
Many are saying this.
Well, it's not that different if you think about it, because part of Dudley Do Right's shtick is that he's kind of a dope also.
And based on an animated cartoon.
Animated cartoon character, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dudley Do Right's perfect. Emma, I assume you haven't seen it. No one's seen it.
Have you seen Dudley Do Right? Emma, you would really like Dudley Do Right, legitimately. Okay. Will
you
watch
Alfred,
it?
You're like Alfred Molina, right? You're a human who breathes oxygen. All right.
So I'm telling you, Emma, I think you would love Dudley Do Right. It's Sarah Jessica Parker, Alfred Molina, and Brendan Fraser in a truly gonzo live action comedy, like live action cartoon. It's
funny, too. Like, it's just. You know, well-written, good jokes. I guess
I guarantee you will like it.
I guess that's where I would have started with this film. The thing about Dudley Do Right is Dudley Do Right comes from the sensibilities of the 80s, early 90s. It comes from a Zucker, Abram Zucker kind of, you know, approach to this stuff, which is, you know, rock solid jokes.
Yeah.
And a plot that gets you through it.
Yes.
Where this comes from, I don't know, like fucking Disney theme park ideas, which is let's get the whiz bang out there. Let's do this, let's get the flash and let's get the, you know, the explosions or the special effects, and we'll figure out the rest later. I think Wild Wild West suffers from the exact same thing.
100%. Yeah.
I think both of these movies just like forgot to write the jokes.
But only one of them has No More Mr. Knife Guy.
I'm sorry. Wild Wild West wrote one good joke.
It's still one of the best lines of 1999.
No More Mr. Knife Guy is false. and that's why that's why Wild Wild West is better than Inspector Gadget, but just barely. They're very similar movies. They're both totally confident.
Wild West is racist.
Slightly. They're both totally. Slightly.
There's no racism in this movie.
Yeah, because there's no people of color in this movie.
That's not true. There's one person of color, and it's an Asian man running away from the Godzilla reference.
I left Tokyo for this.
And the subtitle is speaking Japanese.
Who's the voice of the car?
Oh, it's not Eddie Griffin. It's the guy for it's your buddy from Studio 60.
Oh, is it Hughley?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I'm going to look it up now. I think it's C.L. Hughley.
Your boy from Studio 60, he says. I mean, he is.
It was C.L. Hughley.
So there you go. I also just want to... I'm going to read the names of the writers that were in this script, because some of them are legitimately amazing writers. Dana Olson, Jeff Barry, Carrie Aaron, Zach Penn, Edward Neumeier, John Hamburg, Audrey Wells, and Michael McCullers. These are not lightweights.
Where did you get that list? Was that on?
It's on IMDb. I think it might have been. Maybe it was Wikipedia. I don't know.
You pulled it out. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, a lot of these are uncredited. The only credited writers are Dana Olson, Jeff Barry, Carrie Aaron, and Zach Penn. Gary Ross also apparently did a pass. Like, this is just, these are, my point, the reason I have these names, and this is the shooting script with revisions dated back to 1998 credits the following writers. So my assumption is that most of these people just did passes, right? Where they just tried to punch it up or tried to do whatever, or were told to focus on a specific character, or whatever the case might be. But like,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Audrey Wells wrote Guinevere and directed Guinevere.
I know.
Like, Audrey, you know, you've got
really good writers.
Gary Ross, obviously, you know, Pleasantville and what have you. Carrie Aaron wrote on Friday Night Lights and is an incredible writer. John Hamburg.
Yeah, she's
I Love You, Man.
She created the morning show.
Yeah. And John Hamburg, is he,
John Hamburg's a big guy. John Hamburg, you know, he is.
It's just like, how did we get here?
I Love You, Man. He is Along Came Polly, Meet the Fockers, Meet the Parents.
Right.
I mean, Zoolander. Like, yes, John Hamburg is massive.
And yet, here we are with this fucking turd.
I mean, you know the answer. I can tell you the answer.
Tell me the answer.
They just did it for the paycheck and didn't care. Like, it to be a dick, but like, there's, you know, they're like, it's like when we all took the Quibi money, you know, it's like, it's like, oh, there's this company that's just giving out money. It's
I
like,
love
yes,
here I are wish our- you could have been around Kenny during the Quibi fiasco, because he went through a whole emotional journey along with Quibi that I loved.
Oh my God. I was obsessed with
really
it.
Angry at one point.
Why
that it was
I
going
angry?
South. Because you were just like, how did we fuck this up? How did we fuck up Quibi?
Oh, no, no.
How could this
I didn't
possibly
feel like
have
that.
Been a bad idea?
I could certainly talk about Quibi for a while. And I will. That's not, that was not
it's
my
Inspector
point of view
Gadget,
at all,
the
Phil.
Quibi of Disney live action.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so
well,
I'll get
so,
there in a second.
It's so damn short, that was, too. Like
that was not. Yes, it is a quick bite.
If ever that a movie not, was a quick bite,
that was not my point of view on Quibi. I'll tell you my point of view on Quibi. And I said this at the time.
Yeah,
I had a project at Quibi. So I was in the Quibi offices.
Which one?
The project or which office?
Oh, by project? We didn't get it made, but it was, it's dead now and whatever. It was called Junior High. And it was
good. It was a good idea.
I'll run it down real fast to give you, Quibi's dead. No one's coming after me. So bring it on.
The Quibi police?
All right. So here, this is what I knew about Quibi at the time.
Yeah.
They're off. Offices were spectacular. So it was the nicest fucking office I'd ever been. They had bought a fucking office park, essentially. So I'm like, okay, they have a lot of money here.
This makes a lot of sense to me, honestly.
Just wait.
Secondly, I knew this about our project. Our project had a guy, I don't even want to say it because I don't want to put it out there or anything, but like it had a famous person attached who was currently starting in a real TV show.
Matthew
so
Broderick.
A guy that who'd you think it was?
Matthew Broderick.
Yes, he was playing. It was called Weenies. so it was the kind of project that Quibi was drawn to. You had to bring in like a celebrity person. Mm. But here's the thing about our project. Our project was developed for another place. We sold it to that place. They passed on the project. We shopped it to every single place in town, including places like Complex, which like Hopkins, right? We're like, we'll do it for nothing. And no one wanted it. And then Quibi comes along and doesn't even fucking read it and buys it off a log line.
Oh my God.
And is like, all right, wow, we have a second chance at this. So, so immediately a few things were crystal clear to me. One was Quibi is putting a lot of money out there.
Sure.
And Quibi is willing to take everybody else's leftovers. Right. So they were
taking. And then
taking
someone bought all their leftovers.
Well, kind of. They bought the projects that actually like got made. Yeah. But so Quibi basically what I'm trying to say is I knew at the time that their content was not going to be good. Now, the other thing is I knew that their platform wasn't going to be good because they showed us their platform. This is what they do when you go to Quibi.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Quibi, they're like, all right, it's only going to be on phones.
All this down.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine.
Writing all this down.
They're like, it's only going to be on phones.
For my future.
Hey, you're kind of like, all right, well, I guess it's only going to be on phones. Like, okay, like, what do we know? Like, it's what we know.
What do we know?
So, like, all six studios have put $100 million into this. All right, like, all right, that sounds good. Like, we're into that. And, like, and here's what it can do. Like, okay, well, what can it do? And they show you that turnstile thing got sued for. They're like, look, it's turnstile. And they show you like the one video they made for it where like you're getting chased in a house. And if you turn it one way, you're like having guys you, and another way you're in the other. They're like, look at this technology. And immediately I'm like, but like, why would you do that? You would miss part of the show. Like
if you didn't watch it, and
I did. It would be like watching a De Palma movie, but like some people get like one of his split screens, and some people get the other of the split screens. They both matter. He shot both for a reason. Okay, so all of a sudden I'm like, all right, wait, there's no there. Like they think this is like the foundation of a big company. Like there's nothing there. So what I said, Phil, Ip Iskov, is Quibi is the worst idea that's ever been.
Yeah.
But there is too much money here for them to just give up. And when they actually just gave up, that was all that shocked me. I thought Quibi was the dumbest idea in the world. But I know you do, because that was like our argument. Like clearly you were right. But that was the dumbest idea in the history of America, but it was a candy shop that nobody was tending to. And the other thing I thought that was like, you know, not a dumb way to be spending your money was by buying everybody's garbage. You might have remembered, Emma, Phil, I said this to you all the time. Mm-hmm. The people on Twitter who normally would be destroying a project like Quibi were quiet because they all had projects at Quibi. All of the funny guys on Twitter had sold them the pilot they wrote in 2019. And they were just like, we can cut this into six parts. And then they just didn't make fun of Quibi. And then now everyone makes fun of Quibi. I certainly didn't make fun of Quibi. Now everyone makes fun of Quibi because it was a horrible idea. Mass disaster. But all I wanted to say is Inspector Gadget was the same thing as Quibi.
We are just
throwing money at you people for Inspector Gadget. And they're like, I guess if you are going to back up the Brinks truck for me to do a fucking punch up of this, I'll do a punch up, but it's Inspector Gadget.
No, sure.
Like, what do you expect anyway?
I guess yes to everything you're saying. I don't think that this movie was made with good intentions. I don't think this movie was made with much creativity. It was clearly just a kind of soulless endeavor. And I do think that, have you seen My Favorite Martian, Emma? Have you ever seen this film?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Right. Wow.
That I've seen.
You're the one.
I'm the one.
That movie is also bad, but it's better than this movie. Wouldn't you say, Kenny?
I think it necessarily is better than this movie.
But I the reason I bring it up is that it's just, we talk a lot, and by we, I mean people in the industry, people on film Twitter, whatever, right? About this IP-driven industry that we live in now, which is a completely fair thing to throw. But these two movies are when you don't apply any thought, really, right? Like, yes, we live in a sweaty industry, and you're sort of like, but that really doesn't have anything to do with the original IP. Sort of like my Inspector Gadget Wally idea, where you're just sort of like, but what is this?
That, That's a good idea, dude. You I swear to God, you. I'm gonna pitch it. If you don't pitch it, I'm gonna pitch it.
My point more than anything is this to me felt so much worse than the IP shit we're dealing with now. Because it was hard to even really connect with anything that's going on the screen mm-hmm. here. You saw this film, Emma, when you were what, 7 or I said?
Yeah.
Something like that?
7, probably.
As a kid around then, I mean, I know you can't probably remember that well about the experience, but like, did you find yourself just like, did the effects work? Did the whiz bang stuff work? Like, did any of the stuff that they were clearly catering to young kids work for you?
I don't think I was that. I mean, okay, I will say,
yeah,
the one thing in this movie that I was into, which I was into sort of across the board whenever this popped up, was Dr. Claw. I really liked, I thought he looked cool. Uh-huh. I thought he was really scary. I liked the sort of metal hand thing. That's cool. Whenever he's on screen, I'm like, I'm dialed into this movie. Whenever he's not, I just...
So are you just into Rupert Everett, just out of curiosity? Yeah, is he an actor that you like?
Yeah, okay. We can just say that.
Fair enough. I mean, there's something
he's
also...
He's just, you know, very good at his job. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Blushing.
He's also a very... I mean, he's a very attractive man.
Yeah.
There's something very charming about him. I don't think it's a surprise, you know... various roles that he's done. Kenny and I have talked about this because he did pop up a bunch over 99, that he's a guy that Hollywood didn't really know what to do with because of his openly gayness. I think that's, they just sort of were like, what are we supposed to do with this?
He certainly can't play straight.
Yeah, God forbid. So I bring all this up because, and then there's the weird, did you clock the magazine cover of him overweight?
No.
Did you guys clock that? Did you clock that, Kenny?
He mentioned in dialogue.
So like,
yeah,
he used to be overweight and there's a shot of him on like Time Magazine in like a fat suit or whatever. And I'm like, why? What is this?
I'm not really sure who that joke is for.
Who's that joke for?
it's a bad movie. You know, there is this, but like, It's several steps away from being like something that's actually like funny or successful, but like it's definitely not for lack of trying. You know, like the one moment I clocked was like when Matthew Broderick is in the full body cast.
Yes.
And first thing first, like Dabney Coleman makes an English patient joke, which is hilarious.
Now I get that joke. Didn't get that joke when I was 7.
I mean,
he made a
reference to a movie that I'm guessing the parents in the theater didn't even see, because if you're taking your kids to the English, and then the score over the full body cast was like this like bouncy, jaunty, like funny little thing. And I just like, there is a version of this movie that is so silly and so mm-hmm. like irreverent that it could have been fun.
The movie that Sherry O'Terry and Dabney Coleman are in is a funny movie. But then like, it's just everyone's not on the same page. But you mentioned, so there's the surgery sequence, which was crazy. Like, it is gonzo. It's so dialed up. And I couldn't help but think that it was like the nega version of the Doc Ock scene from Spider-Man 2.
I was literally just about to say.
Right?
That's what I was thinking of when I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Very familiar.
But it's so colorful and zany.
I like the color in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. But like that sequence, I was like, you've got something here. Like if there were ways to bottle the stuff that worked, but it's just, it also makes me wonder, and I understand why they cut it, because maybe a 10-minute version of this movie is just interminable.
It's I can't imagine watching this movie for 30 minutes longer than it.
But what if those 30 minutes made the movie better overall is the question that I'm wondering. I don't know the answer, and I'm sure it's probably not true, but gutting this thing so you can get more plays in a movie theater, make back your money. I don't know if that's I guess it kind of worked out, but what did you think of Andy Dick?
hilarious. So funny.
See, and Emma, this is why you're a great guest.
The Andy Dick of our time, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. I've been waiting my whole life for someone to say that.
Andy Dick is funny in this, but also feels like in a different movie.
Well, this is what I was kind of goes along with what I'm saying. Villain stuff in this, like the henchman stuff, that is what I find funny about this. Whenever anything sort of is self-referential about like having bad eyes in something, I think that's funny. Because it's easy to kind of make that funny. Like, I love the scene at the end when Penny meets the guy with the haircut, mm-hmm. whatever his name's supposed to be, Sykes.
Sure. Yeah.
And she tells him, yeah. And she says something like, you look like the kind of person who would like sell like some sort of hardware. And he's like, my dad had a hardware store. And they have this like heart to heart where like you see this like hapless henchman character kind of, you know, being like, well, I'm not really that bad. I just fell in with the wrong crowd. That's funny.
Yeah. And no, that was the good
stuff. They really play that well in this.
Part of me feels like that everyone thought Inspector Gadget fundamentally as a character was boring, right? So mm-hmm. they kind of, and I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but like, it's why we're given an evil version of him. It's why we're given so much sort of like jazz hands around him, because they're not committed to that character and they're not particularly interested in that. That's the impression that I get. It's why you have
no idea why in the context of the film, there was an evil version of Inspector Gadget.
I don't either.
Like they were trying
RoboCop because the kids love RoboCop and they knew that they needed to have that formula in place.
The kids love RoboCop.
That's unfortunately, I think that is true.
Kids I think it's true RoboCop. Too.
I always felt a little left out as a kid, like having all this RoboCop, you know, ephemera around, and I hadn't seen it, and it's just like God, I feel really like the nerd on the playground and not getting all these RoboCop references
out of the RoboCop loop.
No, I get it.
To your point about like ignore sort of dancing around the main character of the movie, what surprised me watching this again, which I did, I watched it yesterday. Against all judgment, I did it. Was that it didn't focus on Penny and Brain, which, as you're saying, and I'm, you know, going to take your word for this, are the other main characters of the show, where they're very much, they're completely sidelined in this. And it surprised me watching it because I remember them, both of them being big. Sorry, there's a siren.
It's all good.
It's probably Gadget.
He's on the case. He's coming. But I remember both of them being big in the advertising materials. Yes, like all the marketing materials had lots of Penny and Brain because, you know, she's the kid character that the kids can identify with. But then they're barely in the movie.
I mean,
what kind of decision is that?
It's a bad decision. And I also think that whether or not Kenny remembers Brain having the ability to communicate,
really
he did.
Don't.
But they should have Scooby-Dooed him. Like, Brain needed to be CG, and they needed...
I was just thinking the same thing, Phil.
You know what I mean? Like, they really should have just gone for it. And instead, they just relegate him to, like, I don't know, shitty dog jokes where he, like, licks his face or whatever. Like, it's just, it's a bummer because they made a worse movie when they could have just ran with what was in the cartoon. Like, you had the framework. It worked. Like, either stick with what was in the show... or do Wall-E, one or the other. Because as far as I'm concerned, this middle space that this movie exists in is just not particularly interesting.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, at some you seem to be more of a latter stage Inspector Gadget fan.
That might be.
I'm an OG Gadget.
Right, so you're a Diane, I'm a Rebecca, is what you're saying.
That's right. So at some point, they made him a translation caller. So he was able to talk later in the series, but early... All he could do was, you know, dress up in a woman's clothes and pretend to be a woman.
Which he does a lot,
in order to fool people. Engage entry to hazardous materials sites.
And you're missing out. There's some Brain hijinks in the original show.
I'm going to become an Inspector Gadget super fan.
You should.
What, 30 years after the show?
I'm sure it's streaming somewhere. So can I ask a question about the movie opens with an extended credit sequence where they just do the, it's like a good 2 minutes, it feels like, where they just kind of fuck with the Disney logo and like play around with like weird gadgets around the letter G, and like just a credit sequence that I imagine was reasonably expensive, but also eats up screen time, which I guess was what they were looking to do at this point. And then mixed into this film, there are, I don't really know how to explain it, but like sort of animated cutaway interstitial things that, like, existed transition in the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was wondering about that. Because there's no other reason to do this.
They serve no purpose in the movie.
The one that's just like a 3D model of just a head, like a human head, just sort of going whoosh at the screen.
And then there's one where it's a foot.
Yeah.
Just like, so crazy that this movie made it past so many people to get, you know, shot.
It was a priority project.
You're right.
It was. Anything that, like, it's so, anything that gets in front of Steven Spielberg, mm-hmm. and that even for a minute, he's like, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Like, that's it. Like, that, then that, you got to make that project with or without him. How often was Spielberg, like, momentarily attached this to a big movie?
Oh, a million
that we've
times.
Done.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, crazy. Yeah. Because, yeah, even if he just acknowledges that this might be good, I think you have to make it. I think you owe it to yourself.
The other thing that the show did really well, Emma, just because I feel like we need to sort of, you know, help you on your journey to watch the cartoon.
Please,
is,
yeah.
It
this
was
is the first
actually,
day of the rest of my life.
It was actually a crime-solving show, right? There was there was a mystery to be solved. There was a crime that was being committed. And there was a thing that that Inspector Gadget and Penny and Brain had to solve. And then he saved the day at the end. And, you know, obviously, Claw was usually the guy behind it. I say this to show this movie doesn't solve any crimes. This movie's not interested in solving crimes.
Well,
it's just interested
movie.
In
it's, right. That's right, kind right. of the thing that they're doing. They're not, like, in the sense that, you know, with Batman is Gotham's greatest detective. How often does he actually solve crimes in movies that he's in? Not.
Well, the Batman.
In the Batman, they do it different.
He's been called the greatest detective in the world.
He is.
Okay, sure. But his name isn't Inspector Batman.
Like, Batman.
This guy inspects.
This guy's an inspector.
For a job. Yeah. First of all, it's so funny that Inspector Gadget. Like, that is not a rank in any police department in America.
It's very British.
Yeah, it is. It's a British idea, Inspector Gadget. It's a great name. They could have had way more fun with that too.
He doesn't inspect much in this movie.
No,
really.
He doesn't do a lot of inspection.
Well, it's mostly just him sort of finding clues and then the car verbally abusing him until something happens.
Maybe it should have been called Introspector Gadget.
There you go. Now you got something.
Yep.
That's the next one's going to be called Dark and Gritty.
I was going to say that's Emma's version, Introspector Gadget.
Can I just say that I love that as it gets darker in New York, Emma looks like she's in the Blair Witch Project right now.
Yeah.
I have like one lamp in this room.
You should just have a flashlight under your chin and you can just do it like that.
This is. I'm
said turning it to Dr. Claw.
I said early in the podcast that Inspector Gadget, the IP, isn't very good.
Yes.
I'm going to rescind that. What this entire podcast has taught me is Inspector Gadget wasn't broke. There was no need to fix it. Because now I'm looking back at some. You remember this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds?
Yes.
I know that's a Mission Impossible. Mission,
but
thing,
whatever.
But
every episode they did it.
But the shtick was in Gadget. He always. I think it was Chief.
It's like Chief. Oh, fuck. It's the.
It's Chief Quimby. It is. It's Chief Quimby.
Quimby. Yeah.
So Chief Quimby always handed him the message. And he threw it over. Shouldered.
And it went into whatever receptacle Chief Quimby was hiding in. And it, you know, it blew him up cartoon style and blew off his mustache. And the next scene, he was fine again. Like, that's some fun shit we could have enjoyed a little bit more. And it also, you know, it lent it to this idea that Gadget is a fucking idiot. He's absent-minded. Correct. He can't get anything done. It's all a ruse. They missed the most fun part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, here's my question. And it's sort of back to what I was asking you earlier, Emma, about the kind of the special effects-ness of this film and whether or not that stuff worked for you as a kid. Because watching it today, as I said earlier, I was impressed with the special effects in this film. I thought that all things considered, you know, his legs getting big and the helicopter coming out of his hat, like all that kind of stuff worked pretty well. But I'm assuming it didn't work for you as a kid?
I think it worked fine. Honestly, like as I said, I really wasn't that critical of this stuff. Like if I'm in the cinema cafe and I'm watching a movie, that's great.
Had you seen many films at the Cinema Cafe, or was this just one of
them? I think I probably saw like three. I'm really hyping this place up as a location that I would be found at. But really is.
I know it's when I get sent back to 1999, I find myself in Virginia Beach and I go to the Cinema Cafe looking for you. Yeah. I won't find you until Gadget. But it'll be a little weird if I'm looking for a six-year-old girl to help me out in my time travel journeys.
Well, that's
very Gadget of me, though.
At that point, I will have gone back in time as my age now to fix the movie. So,
that's interesting.
If you found me, you'll find me as me, also sitting in that cinema cafe. Really,
so we'll meet there, and we'll meet there, and just revel at all the wonderful changes.
You're like, wow, it's so good.
The term "you will find me as me" is incredible.
that's a good look. That's a good line for something.
It is for something.
Gotta be
like a time traveler's wife situation.
Did we do that movie this year? We did the astronauts.
That's 2009. Yeah.
There was some other line that you said that I thought would be good in Inspector Gadget, and now I can't think of what it is. God, it's going to bother me now. I'll think of it.
It'll come to you. So, to your point, Kenny, that you made about how they just didn't need to fuck with it as much as they did, I agree with. And I would actually go one step further and say that they spent too much money on this. Like, I actually think that had this been more tactile and had it been less CG oriented, like one of the things that Dudley Do Right does so well is it's very lo-fi.
Yes.
And I understand that this man is an inspector and he has gadgets, but like there's a way to do it where it doesn't feel so gadget heavy, but I guess maybe they felt like they had no choice. I'm not really sure what the best way to combat that is, but I mean, listen, they made their money back. I honestly didn't know this movie made $134 million. Like that's not fucking nothing.
Yeah,
that's a lot of cinema cafes.
That's horrifying.
But they really pushed. I mean, I don't know if this is true, but in my head, I saw ads for this movie absolutely everywhere.
Oh, for
obviously,
sure.
Because it's being marketed to me as a 7-year-old, but I mean, it was stuff like, I remember lines in this movie because they're from the trailers that I've seen a bajillion times.
Like which ones?
Now that I say that, I can't think of any.
Were you even telling the truth?
When Claw says, just Claw one word like Madonna, that's just hammered into my brain. Because
and then he also works with Madonna, a year later?
Yeah.
In The Next Best Thing.
They become like best friends in real life.
Yeah.
All because I want to just Gadget.
I'm going to read you the top 10 films of this weekend, box office wise, because we do this periodically, Kenny, where I feel like we really get a sense of how much range we used to have in movies.
Sure. Yeah.
The Haunting, Inspector Gadget, Eyes Wide Shut, American Pie, Big Daddy, Lake Placid, Wild Wild West, Drop Dead Gorgeous, The Wood, and Tarzan.
Oh my God. What a weekend.
What a weekend indeed.
What a weekend at the Cinema Cafe.
But like it really is a snapshot. Now this is late July, so you're right in the heart of, you know, the summer. But still, like I mean, Drop Dead Gorgeous had no business being released when it was. It should have been released in the fall and it would have done far better, I imagine. Mm. Same with Lake Placid, quite honestly. Like, that's an October movie, even though it did relatively well. But it is just interesting to see how, like, I don't know, like, look at that spectrum. R-rated teen comedy in American Pie, R-rated adult drama in Eyes Wide Shut, you know, The Wood from MTV Films. It's just, it's, and Tarzan, it's just shocking. I don't know. I'm just looking at this as being like, I honestly can't believe how we fucked up this industry. And now it would just be like 10 Marvel movies.
Well, but one anyway. Marvel movie and then nothing else.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's pretty amazing. So they are apparently rebooting Inspector Gadget. Dan Lin is attached as a producer.
Oh my God.
As a movie?
As a movie.
Guys.
Is anyone else?
No, there's no one. As of October 2019, Mikey Day and Streeter Seidel were hired to write the film. I don't know who those people are. And
they're from SNL.
Mike, there's an SNL guy, okay. Yeah.
And Streeter, yeah.
But like, here's the thing, Kenny. You brought up the Chippendale thing.
I did. Which, oh, Chip and Dale, the Rescue
Chip and
Rangers.
Dale, not Chip and Dale. Chip and Dale. Yeah, yes. Rescue Rangers. I could see a meta winky Inspector Gadget movie that's more in the vein of like the Lego movie or something like that. That could see that working.
I'm certain that's what they'll do because that's what cool guys do these days. Mm. But
and girls.
What I
thank you.
Yeah. Well,
International Women's Day.
I don't. I mean, I don't mean to be a misogynist, but are women that derivative?
Yeah, but, women are better writers than this.
Wow, who's the bigger feminist here?
Me, I'm the answer. It's me, the great feminist. But I think the bolder move.
Yes,
and I'm not just saying this. Is something
Wally?
Real fucking dark, like Wally. I think, like, it's a shame to me that, like, Bel Air immediately became part of the machine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the Bel Air trailer, the viral trailer, was kind of brilliant, right? And
well, yeah, it, I mean, it, like, two seasons of a television show.
But we're talking about the one that's on right now.
Yeah, on Peacock. Yes.
Okay.
So the viral trailer.
I'm aware that this is a remake.
Based on it's from a show. It was from a 90s television show.
You've seen the Will Smith television show, right, Emma?
Who's Will Smith?
The Fresh Prince of Bel Air himself. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So this is Bel Air. All I'm gonna get is like Bel Air, the viral video was a kind of subversive idea. It was this idea that was like, you know, you pull back the layer for a second on this beloved piece of IP and actually you're telling the story of like class struggle in the Black community.
Yeah.
And not, you know, no knocks against this beloved piece of, you know, work, this beloved, you know, series, but like there is something more happening here. And the fact that it got immediately swallowed and integrated and put, you know, we were just City Walk, you go to City Walk, right, Phil? They had a big fucking throne there that you sit on, and you sit on your throne as the Prince of Bel Air and take a picture of yourself. It's now like it that idea of doing like the total flip is now an idea in Hollywood's tool bags.
Yeah, yeah. Which isn't a bad thing necessarily.
It's only a bad thing to rate out like how quickly. I know it's a weird thing to call the fucking Bel Air video a counterculture idea, but it is. Sure. So how quickly like a countercultural idea becomes integrated into, you know, mainstream culture, spit out and just ignored. That being said, go dark with
that's
Gadget.
I wonder,
please go
do
dark.
Do you think
with
Inspector
Gadget.
Gadget should be a horror film now?
Hey.
No, I think it should be fucking. I think it should be AI.
He just fucking has knives. He just guns and like
fucking dildos.
And shit.
The Emma version.
It's great.
Yeah, Inspector Bludgeon.
Inspector Murder.
I think the version
the Superman 3 version, where Inspector Gadget starts using his powers for evil, would be pretty good.
I think
when Superman goes bad.
What do you do when Inspector Gadget turns dark?
Well,
look at buckle up.
You can't fight him. He's invincible.
Yeah, he is kind of. He can't die.
He has no heart.
He's got. Does he not have a heart?
He has. I don't think he has anything except for a fucking neck. Neck up.
He's just got a head. That's all he has.
Yeah, right. Because when they open him up, it's just machinery. Yes.
It's horrible.
This is fucking weird.
I think,
man.
Honestly, it's like, I think something with like, you know, exploring the horrors of waking up and being this.
It's a Cronenberg film, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Body horror. Yeah. Yes.
It's a body horror movie. And they touch on that a little bit in this, because he has that line where he's like, I don't want to be this. Which is so sad, and it's really moving. And then they immediately move on, and he sprays toothpaste all over a woman.
God, RoboCop is a body horror film, right?
Absolutely. And it is.
And I think that, I don't know, if you have the guts, Disney, like,
they don't.
Just.
This is, I don't even know that Disney owns this anymore. Because if Dan Lin is producing it, then it's a Warner Brothers thing. And right, he's not at Disney.
Good point. That's good
so,
point.
Like, I think Disney long ago was like, you know what? We're out of the Inspector Gadget.
They let that contract run out.
Yeah, they're just like, you know what?
No gasoline left in this tank. By the way, what does Gadget run on?
Love.
Brain power?
In this movie, it do be
same
love.
As me. Yeah, we didn't talk about Jolie Fisher, who I was positive was Kate Walsh until I looked her up.
Oh my God.
That's amazing. So let's rate this movie, because I'd like to hear your thoughts on the movie we're covering next week as well. A movie that you might have seen back in 99, but I'm not sure. Right. I didn't see this film in 99, but I did watch this film whenever we originally thought we were going to do it. So I have two ratings. I was much more favorable on this film, Kenny, when I watched it the first time, weirdly.
Interesting.
I gave it a 51 back then. And today I'm at a 35, and then after this podcast I'm at like a 30. Like, I don't think this movie has really much going for it other than a couple glimmers of like visual energy and what have you. I think by and large this is a movie that I'd like to forget I ever watched. What about you, Kenny?
You know, you made me want to look up my original, and I think I have a number here.
Okay, cool.
I guess I didn't. I had a lot of notes. Let's see. Sassy Black R is hilarious. Wait, I didn't write that.
Sassy Black R. That's a spinoff.
Yeah. This is really a terrible movie. I didn't like this. I didn't like this movie. Yeah. So, but I didn't give it a number. So who knows what it was. Before I watched this version, I'm pretty sure I did give this one a number. Let's see what I gave it. I gave it a no number. So I'm giving it a 32 before the podcast, okay. And a 31 after.
Yeah, we're in the same
spot. Yeah. I also think it's an ugly looking movie.
It is.
This is what I said. And this is what I was trying to get across earlier before I decided I hated this movie.
Yeah.
I think in warmth and a heart here. Instead, it's madcap, mm-hmm. which is its choice. It's mm-hmm. silly, but it's what it wants to be. So that's sure. like kind of my feeling about this is like it's only a failure because I think it's a failure, but I don't think the guy David Kellogg, the director, and didn't do exactly what he wanted to do. That's I think true. He did what he wanted to do, but it hit this particular audience member as insufferable. 31.
Emma, what about you?
Okay, I think I'm a little bit softer on this one, but only a little.
Okay.
Only a little bit.
Okay.
Mainly because...
It has gadgets.
It has gadgets. My favorite thing, canonically...
It on this podcast,
I love it has... arguably made of them. So there's that. There were parts of the movie, there were jokes that I genuinely did laugh at when I watched it yesterday, okay. which ones? I don't remember. But there, you know, I remember sort of being like, oh, that was funny. Whenever they're in don't know. Whenever they were saying with the foot, yeah. I thought that one.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
It's fine. Oh, it's
you're
fine.
Easy mark.
I'm an easy mark.
Obviously.
Whatever. I'm in the tank.
Loves a good foot joke.
If they're not gadgets, they're
one of my favorite jokes is a foot joke.
Ever?
Oh, that's one of my favorite lines of a movie. I can't just remember laughing so hard. Have you ever seen Albert Brooks's mother?
Sure.
He goes so he's staying with his mom, Debbie Reynolds. And he goes to eat some of the sherbet out of her freezer, and he takes a bite, and he goes, oh, it tastes like an orange foot. I thought it was great.
I mean, it's a good joke.
You know, because it was there for a while. Yeah. And I thought orange foot was hilarious. All right, go ahead, Emma. What did you
Emma, what's your rating?
I'm going to do a 40, an even 40.
Okay.
I think, and honestly, I'm impressed that after cutting out 30 full minutes of the movie, it still is a coherent thing. With a message that they have through the film, yeah. Sort of, kind of, mostly, you know, stuff that they bring back from they put it in the end, whatever. You know, that always impresses me when they remember to do that. I'm like, how do you remember?
That's a low fucking bar.
Should not
they
be saying these things.
Remembered what they did at the beginning of the script
as a professional critic.
I was going to say, I'm a professional film critic.
I think I just put my standing God. In the community right there.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm always impressed with that.
So, you know, it's been 2 hours. There's a lot of stuff has happened. But they always remember. Oh, that's what we were doing in the beginning. Let's put it at the end.
Oh man. I really love that. That's,
I get it. I don't even have a joke on top of that joke.
No, it's so good. It should be your Twitter bio.
As I'm sitting here crying, laughing, I'm also frantically trying to think of a joke to make on top of that. It's too good. It's perfect.
Too good. It's good. It's perfect.
That's what I'm here for.
So next week, Emma.
Okay.
We are doing Doug's first movie.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
A Doug fan?
I was a Doug fan. I loved that thing.
Also a Nickelodeon show that was barely watchable.
It was one of the first ones that I remember, like actually remembering what time it would be on during the day.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And being like, I want to watch. It had nothing to do with me. It was like,
it was all about boys.
Boys,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
you know, with no hair. Their hair was weird. I remember being very
bad hair.
That.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I didn't know there was a show because I don't know that the show made it to Canada. Quite frankly, maybe it did. I don't know.
It would never translate to a Canadian audience.
All right. Yeah. But I bring this up because I think people loved the show, but the movie, do you remember the movie? Did you see the movie?
I definitely saw the movie. I don't. Okay. I couldn't tell you what happened.
Right. Very
not
optimistically,
as burned into my memory as
the very optimistically titled Doug's first movie.
Yeah. A little putting the cart before the horse on that one. Another short movie. I think that one was also 72 minutes or something like that. It was real short.
Doug's first movie.
Go ahead.
I was just going to admit how it's interesting how now children's movies are insanely long because they want to keep children occupied for as long as possible.
Whereas
they used to be very short because, you know, kids' attention span.
Yeah,
not very long.
I know. I took my kids to see Show Alike. It was great.
To see what?
You know, the 9.5-hour Holocaust epic.
I thought that's what you said, but I wasn't sure. I just wanted to be sure.
It was the Doug's first movie, Showa, a double feature.
Yeah, it's a double feature. Yeah, yeah. The Doug Chaser.
Yeah.
Doug is a pretty character, and his movie just sort of follows him around while he sort of kind of befriends a Loch Ness Monster type creature, if I remember correctly. We recorded this episode a long time ago, so I can't remember.
I feel a little bad about it, too, because we recorded it with Teddy Bressman to time it his show dropping on Sci-Fi, right, which was like a year ago. But he also wrote on Pam and Tommy. So you can go watch that.
There you go. So then it worked out. Yes. I didn't. Yeah, I feel bad now that we didn't do that. Okay. But it's a fun episode. It's a weird movie. Both this movie and that movie are on Disney Plus if people want to check them out. And they only were about an hour of your time because with credits, they're barely movies.
By the way, did you watch to the end of the credits in Gadget? Because I
watched
Robo Brenda. Was there a post-credits thing?
There's no post-credits scene. There's like little bits in with the beginning of the credits. There's like little scenes. But at the end, the car like congratulates you for sitting through the credits.
Oh my God.
He's like, you know, thanks for staying to meet all the names of the people who were involved in the movie. It was something like that. Very weird. I've never seen that.
It was horrible.
I kind of want to watch Inspector Gadget 2, though, because the reviews are quite positive, and people say that it's actually closer to the original concept of the show. But
all I remember was it's a different guy, and the villain is a lady robot.
It's the woman from I believe it's the woman from the
Parent. Yes, it's yes.
She's Elaine Hendricks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, her name in the movie is G2, which makes me wonder if this is a Terminator 2 ripoff. Mm. Not ripoff, homage, excuse me.
Homage, yeah.
That's what you do after you do your RoboCop homage.
Yes,
you do your Terminator homage. Yes. Yeah.
And then you go to AI. I think this is perfect. Or Wally, whichever you guys play. I think you do AI then Wally.
Yeah, no,
I think
it's perfect.
It's just, you know.
Emma, thank you so much for coming on and talking with us about this.
It's always fun, and this was the most fun I've had so far. So thank you.
we can't wait to have you back. Will you come on the Patreon for our 2009 movie?
Absolutely. Oh, I love 2009. What a year.
I can tell if you're being facetious or not, but okay.
She hardly remembers she was 12 years old.
Yeah, how old were you in 2009?
I was 15, I think.
No, I was pretty much right.
You were pretty close.
Yeah, I was.
2009, I remember being the year that I started paying attention to movies as like, you know, stuff. You know, I started actually watching like the Oscars and stuff like that and being like, oh, I should have an opinion about this.
It's a really interesting year. We've just started recording some of those and they've been a lot of fun. So I will shoot you the list. But thank you so much for coming on. We really, really
appreciate it. Of course. No, anytime. I love this pod and 1999 is such a strange year.
It really is. And especially when you're in the last year of recording them and you get to really strange movies. But thank you so much.
Every once in a while, you get a classic like Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, you get new Inspector Gadget. You get
Doug's first movie.
You got Doug's first movie. Yeah, it's great. Thank you so much, Emma. Awesome.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.